Hey, good to see everyone. Thank you guys for coming today. I know you made the right decision by being here because the Lord wants you to be here. But do you know why He wants you to be here? It all has to do with things that we can only do in this life. You know, when Jesus said in Matthew 25, separating the sheep from the goats, and He made a statement, He said, there will be a point when I say to those who are faithful, those who are my children, He said, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And when we enter into that kingdom that was prepared for us from the foundation of the world, there's not much that we're doing here on earth that we'll do there. For example, even ministry-wise, okay, there won't be preaching, there won't be discipleship, there won't be any need to learn more, because the Bible says we'll know as we're known. You know, we know in part now, but we will know fully then. All right. The other thing is there will be no more opportunity to preach the gospel because the door's closed. The door's closed. If you didn't believe in Jesus and repent and make Him your Lord and Savior in this life, you won't have the opportunity. And those that we have the opportunity to share the gospel with, if we're not faithful to steward that in this life, we will not have the opportunity to do it again. That's sobering. That's very sobering. But there's a few things, really one thing, that we will continue to do, and that's to worship Him. To worship Him. And you know, worship in this life isn't the end all in the sense that we just gather to worship. That's not it. There's people that need to hear the gospel. There's people that need to know how much Jesus loves them. There's territory to take in Jesus' name. There's literally a place for each and every one of us to share the gospel and to reach out to others. And so I really believe that the Lord is calling us into the season, a season where He's just saying, guys, I really want the northern suburbs to experience an awakening, and we have a role and a responsibility in that. And I want to share some things, and over the next while, as opportunity is afforded, I want to just challenge us to really hear what the Spirit is saying. The fact is, sometimes, okay, so we have people that love worship and they're not so keen on the word. Okay, and then we have others who love the word, but hey, worship, okay. There will be no more preaching or teaching of the word. There will be worship. There will be worship, right? So can I just say it's better to get used to it now? Okay, very important. And look, it's a place of knowing God. Of knowing God. Worship isn't about just singing songs. It's about pouring out our love to Him, acknowledging His supremacy, His greatness. And He loves us first, so we love Him, says in 1 John 4:19. So it's very important that we learn how to engage in that place of communion with Him. Prayer is not just taking our trolleys in the heavenly aisles and saying, God, fill it up with this, 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 and this. Prayer is first and foremost about knowing Him and interacting with Him. A person that doesn't pray, a believer. Now, if you don't know God, you see, think about it. In the natural, if you had a child and that child wouldn't eat, what would you do? If that child had no appetite? Manja, manja, no, I'm kidding. The fact is you would do everything you could to remedy that situation, wouldn't you? I mean, you're like, hey, that's not right. That's not normal. That child, if they continue, they'll languish and eventually they could die. They could. So in the spiritual realm, if we don't have a spiritual appetite, that says something's wrong, right? children are hungry, especially teenagers, right? They eat out of house and home. But the fact is, hunger is normal. It's normal. If we don't have an appetite for the things of God, for His presence, for His word, for prayer, for worship, all of those things, right? Then something's wrong. Something's wrong. Check your pulse. Hopefully you're still alive. If you're still alive, then let's get rid of whatever the parasite is or whatever it is that's preventing us from having that appetite. And I just want to say, over this weekend, we've had what's known as Revival Conference, and it was very significant what took place. And for those of you who were there, really the culmination of it was yesterday afternoon. And I really felt that the Lord did some significant things. We had the opportunity to hang out last night with Ben and Haley as a global leadership team and just hear their hearts. And I want to say that God isn't finished with Pneuma Church. He is not finished. I mean, some of us may be finished. Can I be honest? There are times when I said I'm finished. And that's it. But God's not finished. It's His church. It's His bride. We are His people. And regardless of logos and branding and all that stuff, ultimately He looks at our hearts. And He loves us all. And He wants to do more in us and through us. And so at the end, I had the distinct honor and privilege to actually close the conference yesterday. And I had, it was a last moment thing. Pastor Raf came up to me, he said, "Glenn, I want you to close the conference. Whatever God tells you to do, just say." So I just said, "Okay, Holy Spirit, give me a download. What do I say?" And interestingly, I just saw this picture. And it was a picture like of a tree, and the roots of the tree were above the soil, above the ground, and some of the roots were actually exposed. And I felt like the Lord was saying, in the natural, a tree that has exposed roots is in a place of vulnerability. And if that's not dealt with, then eventually that could, result in disease, in at least the nutrients, the ability to be rooted and grounded and all of that, so that that tree will not be able to be sustained long term, right? So this morning I was praying about that, and I said, "Okay, Lord, what were you saying?" Because I saw not just like, we say take a shovel and just throw dirt over those exposed roots, and that's kind of a cover up, if you know what I mean. And sometimes we cover up things in our lives, and we cover up things that God actually wants us to deal with. And I saw in the spirit, it was like this tree was pulled out of the ground, and it was a hole had been dug, and this hole was quite deep. It was deeper than what I saw and in the initial vision, and the tree was replanted. So this morning I was praying into that, and the Lord just reminded me that, when you don't know the answer, the first thing you should do is ask God, but the second thing you can do is actually Google or ChatGPT or whatever. So I did this. I said, what are reasons why trees may need to be replanted? Number one is root congestion. Okay. Trees, as trees grow, their root systems can become congested and outgrow space available. Okay? All right, we need to make space for God, right? Secondly, soil depletion. This one is very significant. Soil depletion. Over time, the soil around a tree can become depleted of essential nutrients. Replanting in fresh, nutrient-rich soil can help rejuvenate the tree's growth. Yeah, there's more, but let's just say that's sufficient. And I just felt like the Lord said, what I'm doing and wanting to do, and what I did even in the weekend in the hearts and lives of many of my people, was a replanting in the right soil. The Bible warns us about a bitter root. Yeah, and that bitter root defiles many. And so there's a place, literally, the Bible talks about fallow ground, right? Break up the fallow ground. You know, the seed can be the best seed, but you just throw that seed on fallow ground. It won't take root. It won't germinate, and it won't bear fruit. And so there's a place of breaking up, plowing the fallow ground. And I just felt, I just felt like the Lord said, this is what I want to do in my people. I want to break and heal my people. And this is a work of the Spirit. And He wants to replant us in Him. In the right soil. But we have to allow Him to do that. We have to allow Him to do that in our lives. We can run. We can make excuses. And you know, like that tree with the root system that was exposed, we may thrive for a while. We may live, not die, but there's just something missing. And I really feel so strongly that the Lord is calling us to that place. I felt like healing, forgiveness, reconciliation, repurposing took place. And we all follow Jesus. We all have to be obedient to Him. But ultimately, God wants to do more than just use us. He wants to do something in us, which is so much more important than what we do for Him. You know, there is a call to do good works. The Bible's very clear about that, right? But it's not just trying to do good things. There's actually a call to allow God to work in us, first and foremost. You know, it says in Philippians, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 12, 13, it actually talks about how God works in us to give us the will and the desire to do what pleases Him. He's working in us, right? And there's a working in us that God wants to do. There's an outworking, a working through us also, but there's a working in us. And I believe so strongly that what God is calling us to here on the north is a place where we just submit to what He wants to do in us, first and foremost. And I feel we're called to step into a season of preparing the soil. And maybe there's some stuff that, you know, we just need to replant. Soil, past seasons, toxicity, you know, lack of nutrients, whatever it may be, we have to just forget about that and let God take us on a journey. Let God take us on a new journey, a fresh journey. And I want to encourage you to not make excuses or delay your obedience to what He's called you to, because it's good. It's amazing. And it's actually your journey. No one else. While we were worshiping, I had a vision, and I'm not sure who this man is right here. Is this family? A friend? Yeah, I just saw him. What's your name? Enzo? Thank you for coming, Enzo. Come on, let's give it up for Enzo. Yeah, amazing. So I saw you, Enzo, and this is what I saw. It was like I saw you kind of getting on a, it was like you're getting on a train or a tram, and there's people that you're getting on the tram with them. So maybe it represents you guys. You're getting on the tram with them, and you're like, yep, I'm getting on the journey with my friends, and I'm following my friends, and I'm going on the journey. And you're good. It's like, yeah, this is nice. But then I felt like the Lord just said that He actually has a journey for you where you're not just following others, But this is your personal invitation to go on a journey with the Lord yourself. And that journey is going to be like, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'll get on, I'll board, you know, the tram, and I'll follow you. And as you say yes to the Lord, Enzo, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. And you're going to see that God is going to do such an amazing work in you. And really the defining shift that is going to, it's like you've been on this journey for a while, but it's kind of like just things haven't really changed the way that you would want them, or maybe even others would want in your life. And I really feel the Lord saying that what's going to happen is when you say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you and I'll get on the tram and this is my journey. And it's not about you just going on the journey with others. Like, yep, I'll come along. This is your journey. And as you do that, everything's going to change in your life. There's going to be a massive change in your life. It's going to be so good. So Jesus just wants you to say yes. He just wants you to begin to go on that journey with him. You may not know how to do that. That's all right. That doesn't matter. He's going to help you. He'll show you. But it is an invitation to trust him and to step out and begin to follow. Follow him in the unknown. Follow him in places you've never been before. And as you do, things are going to really change in your life. There's going to be change in your life. Joy, peace, opportunities. I see prosperity come into your life. I see prosperity come into your life. Changes, things from the past and generational things broken off. And you're going to step into a place. Actually, I see like the Lord has in you even an entrepreneurial spirit. That spirit is going to actually cause you to prosper and to be a blessing to others. And so we don't want to limit God. You know, it says in Psalm 78 that the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God. We don't want to do that. We want to say, yes, Lord, let's go on the journey. Let's follow you. And this word here is not just for Enzo, but you need to grab that and say, it is mine. It's like, hey, that's mine, I'm going after it. But this is for several of you that are in this room this morning, that this is a call for you to begin to go on the journey now. I'm following Jesus. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What it looks like for you would be different than others. And God is really calling us to that place. And I know it's going to be amazing. He's telling us no more compromise. He's telling us no more excuses and no more complacency, but let's go all in. Let's go all in. And I know God is going to do amazing, amazing things, not only in us, which is necessary first and foremost, but through us as well. Do you believe that? Come on, let's stand together. We're going to pray. We need you, Jesus. We need you so much, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing of lasting spiritual value. Lord, we need you, and we love you because you first loved us. You gave your life to ransom us, to redeem us, Lord, to set us free. And so, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for this season. Lord, we pray for an awakening, Lord. An awakening, Lord. A deep awakening. A stirring, Lord God. A hunger, Lord, where all we want is you, Lord. Whatever it is that you have for us, Lord, we want. But we want you. Not just your gifts, not just your blessings. We want the blesser. We want the giver. We want the Lord. We want the King. We want the Savior this morning. And we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord God. We give you the honor and the glory, Jesus. Use us, Father. But Lord, we thank you for wooing us and calling us, Lord, to that place, Jesus. To that place, Lord. In your heart, alongside you, Lord, your heart, your passion. your desire. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, come on, just begin to make that your prayer. Would you just say, Lord, I surrender, I give it to you. I surrender, I give it to you. I give everything to you. Everything to you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everything that you have, Lord, I give to you. Everything, Lord, that I have, I give to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to just read this to you guys. A friend of mine in America posted this morning on Facebook, and I just felt the Holy Spirit just said, you should read this. Listen to this. Let this soak into your spirit. Listen, please. It says this, there are times in our lives when we have to realize our past is precisely what it is. And we cannot change it. But we can change the story we tell ourselves about it. And by doing that, we can change the future. When we change the story of our past, understanding that His healing and loving grace was present in our pain, then we are able to see that He is very present today to deliver us, heal us, and free us. Our future changes when our story changes, which frees us to join Joseph and sing harmony to the verse, as for you, you meant evil against me, God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Healed wounds make beautiful scars. Healed wounds make beautiful scars. And so, Lord, we pray for the things of the past. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that no matter what we've gone through, no matter, Lord, how we've been hurt or how we've hurt others or how we've failed you, or even disappointed one another, Lord, even our family, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for healing. We thank you, Lord, that our past is precisely that. It is our past. And, Lord, we thank you today for the new things that you're doing. We thank you, Lord, Father, for the new story that you've given to us, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you for that. And we declare the narrative of God over each and every one of your children this morning. We declare your redemption story. We declare, Lord God, the narrative of heaven, Lord God, your purpose, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you did at the cross, Lord. You're so amazing. You're so merciful. You're so beautiful, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the invitation to go on the journey with you, Lord, and to move ahead, to move ahead, to move ahead, and to forget about the past, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Even Paul said, you know what? He said, I forget about those things that were in the past, and I press forward. And you know, when you think about that, it's not just the negative things. That's certainly a major part of it, guys. But it's also the good things. The good things. The places that we've been. Yes, that's great, but there's more. There's so much more. There's so much more that he wants to bring us unto. So much more. And we are his children. And we are his family. And right now, in many places, people are even Christians, speak against God's wife. You know who God's wife is? The church. Church, and yet we hear people say things about the church, God's wife. What would you say, men, if someone said something about your wife, right? Not very happy. The church is his wife. As broken at times that it may be, the church is his wife. His bride. Lord, we pray for healing and forgiveness. Lord, we pray that your kingdom will prevail. The Bible says the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church, the bride of Christ. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, how you intervene, how you invade our space, Lord, our thinking, Lord God, and you bring healing and reconciliation. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Lord, and have your way in our lives. Have your way in your church. Have your way, Father. Have your way. Be exalted. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just praise him for a moment. Let's just lift our voices and praise him. Just tell Jesus how much you love him. Just tell him how worthy he is. Damn. Thank you, Jesus. You're so worthy. You're so good. You're so merciful. Your mercy endures forever, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your mercy endures forever, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. says, this is Psalm 51. I just want to read it to you. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." David said, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." Then this, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." You will not despise. You know, this morning I was just praying and I just said, "I don't know, Lord, what you want me to share." Trust me, there's no struggle in that space. I've got a lot of things I could talk about. Sometimes I just jokingly say, I really just have one sermon, but it's 500 hours long. But the truth is, and it's all about Jesus, right? But I just want to just touch on this idea of brokenness. Can I just tell you that even when I stepped up here earlier, I was planning on speaking on something else. But I just looked down, and I don't know how this happened, but my Bible was open to Psalm 51. Well, I marked it in a passage in 1 Kings. And I don't know why, because when I'm pretty sure I opened it 1 Kings. But Psalm 51, and I was like, what's this? And I looked down, and I just saw that. And I just felt like the Lord wants me just to share a little bit about this. So please, just grab a seat. Won't be long. Let's talk about brokenness. So the context, guys know this, Psalm 51 was written by David after his moral failure. David not only committed adultery with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, but he had him murdered. He literally sent him out to the front lines to be killed. Terrible, heinous behavior, what he did. And David struggled with so much, didn't he? Struggled with guilt, shame, uncleanness. Blood guiltiness is what? The word in Hebrews, terrible. David, you can even read elsewhere, like Psalm 32 was also written out of this. And I'm sorry, Psalm 38. And it actually talks about David experienced his own trauma. Trauma, you know, because of what I did. Because of that. And it affects our lives, not only other people, but even us personally. So he cries out to God. It's amazing. And he finds mercy from God. But what we really focus on here is the spot where he talks about how God really isn't looking for sacrifices. Or I'd give it to you. Okay. You'll not be pleased with the burnt offering. I want you to think about that. Burnt offering was the best offering you could give to God. The very best. It literally was the only offering where the entire animal was consumed. It wasn't just like part of it. No, the whole animal was placed on the altar and was consumed. So it speaks of the best you can give to God. And he's saying basically, hey, you know what? It's not enough. It's not enough. Our best deeds, our actions, you know, our attempts at trying to appease God and literally earn his favor, even his forgiveness, it's not adequate. It's not adequate. What is it that God wants? David says, the sacrifices of God, verse 17, broken spirit, broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. So even in a day and a time where sacrifices were required, he's saying it's not about that. Because you can give your sacrifice and your heart isn't right. The posture of your heart, the condition of your heart, my heart isn't right with God. God speaks of brokenness. It's a very interesting term. Brokenness. In the biblical sense, brokenness is not debilitation. God isn't trying to cripple us or incapacitate us. In fact, there's a verse, I believe it's in Psalm 147, where it actually talks about how God heals the brokenhearted. So brokenness is a place that we are where God wants to heal us. But brokenness actually has another meaning, even though it does literally mean to be broken, to be smashed. It has another meaning. Okay. It can also be translated to burst. In fact, the same Hebrew word, shamar, was used of a wineskin that would burst. Okay. But guess what? It also can be translated in the context of giving birth, like when a woman's water breaks. It, same word. So the idea is, if you study this word, you'll see throughout the Bible that God is actually wanting to bring to birth things. Birth new things, new seasons, new breakthroughs, new identities, new callings, new mantles. It's such a powerful word. English does not do justice. So God wants to birth His plan and His will for our life. It's a powerful thing. You know, the antithesis, the thing that is the exact opposite of brokenness, is stubbornness. Stubbornness. And Psalm 32 tells us, talks about the horse, verse 8 and 9. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Wow. Do you believe that? Hey, God, I got this figured out. Or why is it that we resist His guidance? Does God pressure us? Yes, He does. You know why? Because look at this. The very next part of this verse says this. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Then listen to this. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Do you think when the rider pulled the bridle, that might have pained the horse a little bit? This way. That way. Stop. Don't be like that. You know, the idea of brokenness in our culture is not just a negative thing. It can be used in a positive way. I don't know, if you get a new car, maybe you're not able to drive it at its optimum level of performance. You know, it kind of needs to be broken in. Leather shoes, need to break those in. New sneakers, a lot of times you need to break them in. These guys here, they're still not broken in. I've had them for a few months. And, you know, but there's a thing that they used to speak about in the Greek military, brokenness. And there's a word in the New Testament that's the actual opposite of stubbornness, okay? And that word is brokenness, but it's the Greek word praos. Kraus, do you know what it's translated? Meekness. Meekness. James says, receive with meekness, chapter 1, the engrafted word or the implanted word. Receive with meekness that word that's able to save your souls, what he says. And the idea is simply this. Earlier, a few verses earlier, he says, be swift to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Swift to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. What is he, whom is he addressing here? Speaking to us in relation to the Word of God, if you read it. James chapter 1. Read it in its context. He's not saying when other people, you know, challenge you or maybe correct you. He's not talking about that. That can certainly be part of it. But he's specifically saying when it comes to God's word and God's will, don't be that person who gets angry. Have you ever gotten angry at God? Can't figure out what he's doing? Yeah, Job did. So be swift to listen, slow to speak, slow to be angry. What's that mean? Receive it with meekness, prowess, prowess. So a horse needs to be broken, right? It needs to be broken. In North America, we have a First Nations people called Lakota Sioux, and they're primarily like in the Dakotas. And the Lakota Sioux have a way to break in horses. You know how they do it? They take the horse into a lake or a deep river and literally up to here in water. And at that point, then the rider mounts on the horse. And at that place where the horse really needs to trust that rider and the place of least resistance, they begin the process of breaking the horse. So the Greeks had a similar process. And I'll just close with this. James 3:13, let that show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Okay? Prowess was a term that was borrowed from the Greek military. Refers to the art of horse training. The Greek army would search for horses in the mountains and would intentionally select the most spirited and wild horses of the herd. These would then be taken to a camp to be broken in. After months of training, they would sort these horses into categories. Some were discarded, they just wouldn't be broken. They just were too strong-willed. They wouldn't submit. So they were discarded. Couldn't use them. Of no use. The second category was those who would be those horses that were broken to a degree, to an extent, and they could be useful for bearing burdens. And then there were those who were broken even more so, and they were selected for ordinary duty. But very few qualified to be used as, are you ready? War horses. Those who would be broken the most, completely, the Greeks would say that horse is praos. I can use that horse. We can use that horse. As a war horse, we can take that horse into battle. Cannon fire all around it, distractions. But in the midst of all the noise, that horse would still hear the voice of the rider and would obey. Thank you. this is the brokenness that God wants. God uses broken things to release his fragrance. Remember John 12:3, when, you know, Mary came and she broke the alabaster jar, and it says that the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. In 2 Corinthians 4:7-10, it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in jars of clay, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. So the idea is, when that jar was broken, think about Gideon, right? When they went into battle, they had a jar, and the torch was inside the jar. And when the jar was smashed, the light of the torch was revealed. The glory revealed in broken vessels. The glory revealed in broken vessels. 2 Corinthians 2:14-15. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Wow. We are the fragrance of Christ. What? Who? Broken vessels. Broken vessels. Prowse. Not me. Not what I want. What you want. What category do we fit into? Useless, discardable, won't be broken, not compliant? Are we those who maybe we can bear burdens? We can do ordinary duties, or are we war horses? War horses. Prowse. Prowse. Not weakness, meekness. I'm surrendered. I'm yielded. I can be used by the Father. I believe God is raising up a people here to be used optimally, fully, for his glory. What is it that God has put in your heart? What is it that he's speaking to you and challenging you? Come up higher. Come up higher. John of Revelation. John, your perspective, amazing. John had been persecuted. He had seen so many miracles. He was with Jesus. They threw him in a pot of oil, and they tried to literally burn him, like boil him to death in the pot of oil. Nothing happened. So they didn't know what to do with him. And they put him on an island called Patmos. And while he was there on that island, banished, isolated, he had an encounter with Jesus, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the apokalypsis in the Greek, which means the unveiling, the removal of the veil so he could see Jesus. See, John, as amazing as his history was with Jesus, Jesus said, John, I've got so much more to show you, so much more. And your history has been amazing, but you need to come up higher. And he literally was caught up to see things at a higher level. Come on. Caught up to a higher place in him, to a place of seeing things from his perspective. Let's just stand, and we're just going to take a few moments.